Hello, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is another of our top five episodes. Maybe I could call this one a bottom five. Anyway, it's also part of our 12 days of the Comic Source, and I decided that I was just going to do a bunch of these top fives and talk a little bit about just some fun topics, partly because it's pie in the sky dreaming, and that's what we like to do. Who would win in a fight with, or I'd like to see this artist work on X character, or that kind of thing. So I just thought it would be fun. And then, you know, I did a read in order one. So that was almost like time capsule. And let's see where I am. Or I say read in order. I'm like books I need to read or I'm planning on reading and see if I actually make it. So this is kind of the flip side of that. This is books that I'll probably never read, which I don't mean to sound negative. Like, I think these books aren't any good. Quite the opposite. I think these books are kind of seminal works in a way. And so that's why I think not necessarily that there's worth to me doing this, because what's worth in doing any of these podcasts other than just getting my thoughts out, and you guys seem to enjoy it. So that's, again, thanks everybody for all the support. But I just wanted to talk about why, even though these are kind of landmark, seminal, important, you know, series or runs or what have you, I won't probably ever read them, and you know, never say never, but just to talk about why, you know. So it starts off with Walt Simonson's Thor, and Walt, you know, I know he's a talented creator, and I know he's a super nice guy. He's been on the podcast several times, and I love his Fantastic Four run. I love the stuff he did on X Factor with his wife Louise, and I those are probably my two favorite things that he's ever done. But I'm just not a Thor guy, you know. It just doesn't, he's not a character that ever interested me. And if I ever was to read Thor, and I have read some Thor and some Norse mythology from Walt Simonson, because over at IDW, he's done a Thor series, and I've read that and I've enjoyed that. But it's different. It's got a different feel and a different tone. It's a different flavor than the Thor over at Marvel. And the Thor over at Marvel just doesn't interest me. So as groundbreaking and as revered as Walt Simonson's run on Thor is, I don't think I'll ever read it. And it's really long too. He had a good long run on it. I know there's even creators now that are working in comics now that cite the Walt Simonson Thor run as like a favorite or something that inspired them, whatever. So I completely understand and respect its significance and its impact, but I'm just not a Thor guy. I just, you know, I probably never read that. Next up, this is probably the biggest hole in my comic reading, and it's another one where I have zero interest, despite the fact that this comic will show up on, you know, best comics of all time list, and it's revered, and rightly so, because I know it did things that hadn't been done before in comics, and it certainly raised the profile in geek circles of this writer, and it's Neil Gaiman's Sandman. I just have never read it. It doesn't interest me. You know, it started a whole era in a way at Vertigo. And you know, Dave McKean art, super impressionist and visceral and what have you, and I just zero interest, like absolutely zero interest. And this is one that I think it has peaked in terms of certainly the number of people reading it. I mean, I know people still buy absolute editions and omnibuy of the run, but it's not still coming out, obviously. And so it's not something where people are still talking about it on a regular basis like they would if it was still a monthly title, right? And of course, it's hugely influential. I mean, we have a whole corner of DC right now, or we did, called the Sandman Universe, where here we have other creators who are creating stories and using characters, and it's all set in that kind of world that Gaiman created. So, I mean, hugely influential, right? Hugely. And I've read some of that stuff, but I've never read the source material. And I just, I think if it was still coming out regularly or Neil himself was writing it, it would be harder for me to kind of say, yeah, I'm going to leave that alone. I don't have any interest. Cause I'd probably have more people like bugging me like, hey, you need to read this. You need to read this. But again, the interest is just not there. Maybe that'll change someday, but I've gone this long without reading it. And again, it's not that it's not worth it. I mean, for all I know, I could finally end up reading it and be like, oh my God, I'm the biggest idiot on the planet. I should have read this years ago. So I guess we'll see. Kind of similar with my next pick. It's one that, man, when it was coming out, everybody was praising it. It's one of the best comics ever. And so it's Saga from Brian K. Vaughan. And I've read plenty of stuff from Brian K. Vaughan that I've absolutely loved. Most recently his Ex Machina series, which I thought was really great. But this is another one where I almost feel like maybe it's my contrarian nature. You know, people are like, you have to read this, you have to read this, you have to read this. It makes me not want to read it. But like objectively, when I first heard about this title and I read what it was about, it didn't hold any interest for me. Like, okay, the basic premise is Romeo and Juliet in set in space, sort of. And I'm sure it's executed well, you know, because Brian K. Vaughan is a very talented writer. But I just, yeah, between the popularity of it, where you just get tired of hearing about it and hearing about Fiona Staples being the best artist, like she can't win it every year, you know, because again, I'm not to disparage anybody personally, but even the art I've seen, it doesn't really do much for me, you know, and that's fine. I'm glad that plenty of people love it. I'm glad that it's a super hot title when it was coming out and it was making Brian and Fiona a lot of money. Like, that is awesome. That is great. And I'm glad people were reading it because I want people reading comics. It doesn't mean I have to read it necessarily, you know, and I know, again, this is kind of indulgent, and I don't mean to sound snobby or snippy or petty. It's just, I give everybody the same freedom of choice, right? Like, if you don't want to read something, and you don't think it's your particular cup of tea, that is 100% okay. I'm going to talk about the things that I like and recommend the things I like and suggest that you read them, and you'll probably do the same for me. And another one, this is just like Sandman, where I might, like, once it's done, you know, a few years down the line, I might on a whim just kind of pick it up. And who knows if it is done, right? Like, it did stop at some point, and they said they were just taking time off. And I thought they said they were taking a year off, but I think it's been a year now, and it hasn't come back. And that might be because of the pandemic that it hasn't come back. So I guess we'll see. But it's another one that I just don't think I'll ever read it. So it made my list. Because again, like I said at the top, these are books where, because there's plenty of books I'll probably never read, but who cares, right? But I wanted to kind of stir the pot a little bit by picking some books that I know people absolutely adore. And maybe I'll get somebody that'll call me out on social media saying, no, you need to read Saga because of XYZ. And it may be that I give the first trade or the first arc a chance because of what somebody says. So we'll see. Don't see it happening, but anything's possible. Next on my list is Grant Morrison's Doom Patrol. So this one on several levels is not my cup of tea. First of all, it's Grant Morrison. And as you guys all know, I'm not a big Morrison guy. I think his stuff tends to be a little bit overly complicated. And the pacing is usually not that great. So I'm already, you know, not a fan of the creator. And then you talk about it being Doom Patrol, where from what I understand, from context and what have you, he did a lot of really crazy stuff. Sentient streets and, you know, just super weird stuff. And I actually liked the Doom Patrol as a concept. And I think back to the Doom Patrol series in the late 80s that Steve Lytle drew that I really, really liked. So to flip it out and put the Doom Patrol in Grant Morrison's weird psychedelic hands, it's not going to be for me. It's just not. So that one I'm pretty sure. Like I don't really harbor much doubt about that I would ever read that one. So again, it's got two strikes against it, because it's not just the the team or the concept or the conceit of the series, it's the creator as well that I don't necessarily care for. So, you know, that's different than the Thor that I mentioned, because I do like Walt Simonson's work on other things. And I like, when it comes to Saga, you know, same thing. I like Brian K. Vaughan's work on other things. When it comes to Sandman, I've read other Sandman-related stuff, you know, like some of the Sandman universe titles. So, again, that's not one that necessarily has multiple strikes against it. But Doom Patrol, yeah, multiple strikes against it, for sure. All right, my last one on the list is Ultimates from Mark Miller and Brian Hitch. And again, this is sort of a seminal run, you know, hugely influential. This one particularly, you know, influenced the MCU with Samuel Jackson version of Nick Fury and sort of the widescreen, as we call it, comic art of Brian Hitch. But I'm just not a fan. I've actually tried to read a little bit of this. I've read Ultimates number one, and I just didn't like it. I didn't care for the art style, didn't care for the writing. So yeah, I'm just not a fan. This one's closer to the Doom Patrol thing where, you know, for me, Mark Miller's work is pretty wildly inconsistent, and you know, his more recent stuff has been, I think, even worse than his older stuff. Probably the best thing he's ever done, in my mind, is Civil War for Marvel. But yeah, Ultimates, as influential as it is, especially on the movies, and as great as the layouts are for Hitch, you know, I've talked before about his art, and I'm just not a fan of his faces or his style necessarily, as much as I think he's an incredible storyteller. And his layouts of the panels on the pages and his layouts within those panels of the characters, I like. But, you know, the actual line work, I'm not a huge fan of. So, yeah, Ultimates kind of got two strikes against it as well. And also just the depowered nature of those characters, you know? Like that version of Captain America's costume, where it's supposed to be more realistic, I guess you'd say. Man, I really don't like it. I don't like any of those costumes, especially because, like I said, they heavily influenced the MCU, which then in turn influenced the regular Marvel line, which you guys know how much I dislike when those kind of things happen. Just let the comics be the comics, and the costumes don't need to look the same, you know, especially when it comes to a character like Hawkeye. So anyway, I hope this wasn't too negative. I hope my reasons made sense. And I'm happy to hear if anybody disagrees with me and thinks that they can convince me to read one of these. By all means, give it a try. I don't say that to start an argument, but I'm just curious what it is about these things that other people really enjoy. And if you do reach out, please don't just say, oh, you need to read Sandman because it's really good. Like, tell me why you think it's really good. Like, be specific. Like, it evokes emotion, or, you know, whatever your critical analysis is, let me know about it. So, and vice versa, if there's some runs that you think you'll probably never read, let me know what runs those are and why. And I'll be curious if I've read them and if I agree or disagree with you or not. So anyway, that's going to do it for this episode, everybody. As I'm doing on all these holiday episodes, I want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas and a safe holiday. And, you know, whatever it is you celebrate, I hope it's a joyous time for you. Hope you get to see friends and family, either in person or digitally, remotely, however you want to say it. And, you know, if you're traveling, I hope you're discovering this podcast and enjoying all the extra content we're putting out for you during the 12 days of the Comic Source. You know, we're doing this for all you guys as sort of a thank you. It's been a tough year, and I just wanted to put out as much content as I could right here at the end as sort of a positive for the year. And we'll have tons of episodes for you on Christmas Day with creators talking about the positive things for them this year. So I think it's really worthwhile. But that's going to do it for this particular episode. So thanks for listening, as always, and we'll talk to you next time.
You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.